This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome in. It's Three Man Front. Pat Smith, Langell Roberts, Conrad Van Order. Hope John Saber, a little bit under the weather today. I hope he's doing okay as he's getting ready for the holidays. We're here today and we'll be here on Friday as we will, of course, have any of the breaking news that we anticipate that will happen. Maybe after Thursday night's Egg Bowl. Nothing has changed within the last 24 hours. And at least in my thinking, Landrum, what potentially is going to happen in regards to the Auburn coaching situation.
What happened? What did I miss? Has Lane signed the contract yet?
No.
Has the contract been presented to him?
Now, which one are you talking about? Are you talking about the one that Auburn's going to offer him as soon as the Egg Bowl's over with? Or are you talking about the one that's been on Jimmy Sexton's desk since last week from Ole Miss?
Yeah, do you think Lane is aware that Keith Carter actually – got a new contract written up for him, and he's going to get a raise, and he's going to be there in Oxford?
Landrum, he has been reading about the Egg Bowl. He has been looking at tape, getting ready for Ole Miss to try to win their ninth game of the season. He does not have time to talk about contracts.
Yeah, and according, and I know you're going to bring it up, but the players-only meeting that apparently takes place there on Tuesdays, he made it a point to be a part of it, and understanding from somebody who would be in the know, he told them that his only focus, Pat, was on Mississippi State, mm-hmm. on the Egg Bowl.
Sure.
And unfortunately, if you were looking for reassurances or assurances from Lane Kiffin that he's going to be in Oxford until he is hauled out in a pine box or cremated, if that's your preference, you did not get that. It was just focus on this, and I've not agreed to anything, which I think that, well, I don't know about the first part, but I don't believe he has agreed to anything, because how could you agree to anything if you have not been presented a contract by Auburn?
There's all sorts of conflicting stories from the state of Mississippi. You've got some that cover the Ole Miss Rebels on the fan message boards and in the sites, whether it's Rivals or 247. They're all over the place. I mean, many people believe that an offer will be coming. Many people still believe that he will not take the Auburn job. So many of the people at Ole Miss are putting their faith in what Lane Kiffin has communicated throughout the season in regards to what he needs and wants from an NIL perspective and a facility standpoint. So they're holding him to it, so to speak. So until he walks out, they're going to believe that Lane Kiffin is going to stay at Ole Miss. But as I stated just a minute ago, there is no information or anybody that I have talked to within the last 24 hours that would make me pause and think that that offer is not coming. And then at that point in time, it will be up to Lane Kiffin whether he wants to take on the task of rebuilding the Auburn football program.
Well, and I know that you passed something along, and this was from Rebels 247. It was David Johnson that posted, and he is one of their insiders and handles a lot of stuff there at the site. And that was one of the first times that I have seen from an Ole Miss insider where you didn't get a really optimistic message about maybe Lane Kiffin and his future there in Oxford, where he also goes on to mention that John Sokoloff, the, I guess, sports director that covers Ole Miss and also Mississippi State with CBI, I believe, there, the television station that Lane Kiffin retweeted and said, John, I don't know where you're getting your sources, but that he actually defended John. And he said, I think that he caught wind on Monday night of what a lot of us learned, and this was yesterday, about the prospects of Lane Kiffin. But I do find it hard to believe, Pat, that Lane Kiffin would have, and maybe you don't, you've been covering these things a long time. I don't mean that like bad.
He's calling you old.
No, I'm not calling him old.
He always calls me old.
I'm calling him seasoned. I bet my beard's grayer than yours.
Yeah.
But I find it hard to believe that Lane Kiffin would have a Zoom conversation with John Cohen.
Yeah, I don't. That is so dangerous.
Much less two.
Well, I mean, it's so dangerous. I mean, because you did have some reports last week that the Auburn plane was in Oxford and this and that was going on. I mean, you know, I just...
Well, it was Memphis. Whatever. They could have been picking Jimmy up.
Sure.
Jimmy, let's float around the sky. You kick out about eight of your clients' names who you think might be interested in it. That's not how this works, right?
No, but I'm telling you, some of the Ole Miss people are really getting irritated by the fact that when some of those stories have come out in regards to him having those discussions And so many people are like, well, there you go. That's why they played like crap against Arkansas. You know, that's why he has not been focused on the task at hand, which is his football team. And then Alabama fans would like to chime in, and they want to remind everybody that that was basically Lane Kiffin after he took the FAU job and called a crappy game against Washington in the college football playoff, and then Nick Saban fired him.
Yeah, and I don't think that Alabama fans have forgotten that. I mean, we had Roddy Orr on, right, from Tider Insider, and he talked about a specific play that he called that Bozeman wouldn't snap the football, and it was
because
they
didn't have the play.
Well, yeah, they didn't have a blocking scheme set up for it. And then they were about to get green.
I mean, think about that. Alabama went into a national championship game, changing coordinators and bringing somebody in that had been an analyst all year long. And that's when and I thought Sarkisian called a good game that night. I mean, defense just couldn't stop Deshaun Watson. I mean,
Bo broke his leg.
Yeah, that was a problem.
That doesn't help either.
No, that was a problem. Now, Pete Golding, he was the defensive coordinator, right? I mean, that's when all the problems started. Isn't that right?
Well, of course.
I'm kidding.
That was the demise. The demise of Alabama football when Pete Golding actually stepped into the football building.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with Tosh Lupoi.
No.
No, he was doing a stellar job.
Now, that was the season in which I think they started begging people on that staff to try to help Tosh out.
Can anybody help Tosh? And then a young Pete Golding walked through that door, and he said, I'll help. And a star was born.
Yes, he was.
And then quickly that star diminished.
It has faded.
Giving up 20 points in a football game.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid.
Yeah, nobody does that anymore. I mean, the only team in the country that doesn't do that is Georgia.
Well, look, if you got anything to be thankful for, Alabama fans, be thankful for the Alabama defense. Which, by the way, how many shutouts do they have this year? They've got a couple, right? You limited Mississippi State to 6 points. But you played pretty well defensively against an Ole Miss team.
Yeah, gave up a point in the last play of the game against Mississippi State.
Now, if you want to look at the downside, you did give up 20 points to Texas A&M, which is like giving up 100 points.
Well, you did give up 52 to Tennessee. That was...
Well, I mean, but that was that one-off game. Everybody has one. You can't play great
defense
one every single week.
You just got to wipe that off.
Well, yeah.
From the average.
That was Hendon's day.
Nobody was going to beat. That's right. Nobody was going to beat Hendon Hooker that day.
No human being could have stopped him. Only God himself could have come in
Georgia
and prevented any of what Hendon Hooker did that day.
No question.
So be thankful as you're breaking bread around your family tomorrow. And I want everyone to say, Alabama fans, I am thankful for Pete Golding.
So I guess the main question now is when is it going to happen? We've kind of been speculating about this for the last week or so with them playing on Thursday night. You would think that once that is over with and Friday morning, he's taking Juice out for a walk. And I imagine he gets a call from Jimmy Sexton saying, Hey, coach, I just got a call from Auburn. They're interested. And I'm sure Lane will, release the leash of Juice because he'll be so shocked that Auburn is interested in his services.
And don't say something's going to happen to Juice.
No, I just meant he'll be in so much shock. He'll forget that he's holding his dog, and he'll release the leash, and the dog will be running around crazy. So
for the safety of Juice, he needs to stay at Ole Miss.
No.
It would just be fascinating to see how the fans react tomorrow night. Like when they go through the Grove in the pregame walk.
Look, that 8-month-old British Labrador retriever is a celebrity. He is my favorite follow on Twitter besides Pat Smith Radio at Pat Smith Radio.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And not only are you gaining, and it's kind of like you get at the reception when the father of the bride stands up and he says, not only da 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 da, but I'm gaining a great son, a great son-in-law. I feel like Auburn fans, you really need to embrace getting Juice Kiffin and the celebrity that he has become. I mean, game day is going to dedicate resources prior to the start of the season to do a documentary on Juice. And you see how he's interacted with the players. They love him. You're not so big on Juice.
I mean, I have no problem with Juice. I just don't,
Landrum's in love with the dog.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
I raise Labradors. That's what I do.
Had one, so...
You haven't? Oh, they're great.
I have not.
They're very friendly. They like people. They hate to be alone, and I don't feel like Juice is ever alone.
I hear they tear their ACLs a lot. That's what I hear.
Never had one tear an ACL.
Really? I've had a bunch of friends that had them that their dogs had have ACL surgery.
Had one that ate a bamboo rug, and part of the bamboo went and encapsulated itself. It was fascinating in the throat and kind of sealed itself off. They're remarkable. Very resilient.
That sounds remarkable.
Yeah. Very resilient.
Okay, so what's your best guess, guys? What's going to happen? Give me the time frame that you anticipate this going down.
I don't see it happening on Friday. The more I thought about it, I do think that you maybe give it until Sunday to make the announcement. You get a lot of announcements on Sundays, if I can remember, in coaching hires.
So will Gary Danielson be talking about Lane Kiffin taking the Auburn job during the game? Yes or no?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, there'll be a mention of it for sure. How do you gloss over
so
it if everybody else is talking
about it? By kickoff, it will be done. Like, everybody in America will know.
Well, that's what I was.
Kiffin's the head coach.
I was thinking maybe Friday you get, I guess we've been getting those for like a week now, but you get an unofficial, official report that it's done, and then maybe on Sunday is when it's actually, like, you get the Auburn social media post, and then maybe Monday you have the intro presser.
Where Auburn, like, has a graphic that says, "We got our man."
The graphic department is hard at work right now.
And Lane Kiffin wearing his Auburn visor. So basically,
will Juice be on the graphic, Landrum?
Here's my question. Did Gus Malzahn leave all the visors?
Well,
do you think?
No. His office? No, maybe they use Gus. Maybe they call Gus and they're like, "Hey, Gus, can you get about a boom tweet on Friday?"
Mm-hmm.
Just a boom tweet. with a bald eagle emoji and maybe a tiger.
That'd be good.
Just boom, and then all the emojis that Lane Kiffin used the other night that everyone was trying to figure out.
No, it was really easy to figure out. Say no to the devil, have a seat at the table. That's the way I took it.
You figured that out really quick.
Yeah.
All right. Never mind.
That has been decrypted by me and my emoji staff.
I mean, he didn't attack anybody on Twitter, but he continues to send out all the inspirational tweets.
Yep.
You know, because he's a changed man.
He is.
He is, yeah.
He is. He's about to be changed again financially.
I do have
whether
it.
He stays or goes.
And this might be the most solid information that I've gotten from anybody about this situation. You know, Lane is very big into yoga. Don't know if you guys know that.
I did not.
I did not know that.
Yes. No, I'm being serious.
Oh, I know.
Like
I can tell.
It's kind of the Zen, and he's taking yoga. He's doing these things, trying to get his mind right. I was told, pretty good source, that perhaps he has canceled his membership to the yoga instructor that he goes to there in Oxford. So with that being said, I think that might be the most legitimate news that we've had during this whole coaching search.
I've never been a multimillionaire. Do you get people to pack up all of your crap?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt you do.
I mean, you literally just tell them, go in the house and get everything that I own?
Yeah, here's the keys.
Yeah, probably.
You just have your kids, you have your parents, Monty and Mrs. Kiffin, and you have Juice. And you just load them up because somebody's got to be staked out outside of his house, right? I don't know where he lives, and maybe that's a very secluded area of Oxford. Maybe there's gates around.
Well, here's the thing. You know, Terry Sabin was in Austin, Texas, looking for houses. You remember that?
Yep.
She met with real estate agents, you know, because Nick was going to be the next head coach at Texas. You remember all those reports, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious how many reports have been out there that perhaps Lane Kiffin has already been in Auburn looking at homes of the last week or so.
Again, surely you have someone go and look. Or if you just do a search. We know he's online all the time. Does he just do a Zillow search of homes in Auburn, Alabama, $4 million and above?
Maybe Brian Harsin sent him a note and said, "Hey, I got some property that I'm willing to sell if you're interested."
Oh, boy. No, that house is cursed.
Was that Gus's house?
No, I don't think so. Now, Tommy Tuberville, he had the huge house that he built. It was like 9,500 square feet. I don't think he still has that one. Gus still has the lake house. So maybe Gus lets him bunk at the lake house while he settles in to his new digs. It's a very nice lake house, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure.
But I'm going with what Conrad said in regards to the timing. I think you're going to have a pretty good indication on Friday. Not anything official, because I do not think. I think they want to get through the Iron Bowl and let Carnell have his day as the head coach. And then it will be pretty much known. It'll be unofficial that it's official. But then from an Auburn standpoint, I don't think you would probably see something until maybe Sunday and
right.
then maybe a press conference on Monday.
Well, from the Ole Miss folks that you talk to, and I know that they're very ingrained and they're in the know. There's not much that is slipping through the cracks with these folks. I know that you still have a few that are adamant that Lane is not going anywhere, but have you seen a change in the tone, the tenor of what they're saying now in response to Lane taking a job at Auburn?
Not really. There is still a segment of the population or the people that covers the team that are close around the team that still believes in what Lane Kiffin is saying or telling the team, and they believe that he will stay in Oxford. I've been trying to educate them on the history of these type things, and so we'll see what happens. But there is still a segment that believes, okay, the offer will officially come, and he will turn it down. You and I know how this works. An offer from Auburn is not going to come unless they know that he's going to say yes. This is not going to be a public situation where Auburn is going to leave themselves open for someone to turn them down. They're not going to go down the road that Alabama did when they offered about three different guys the job before they got to Nick Saban. It's not going to happen.
Do you think there's any chance that they don't announce anything until after the game just because in the back of their mind they're waiting to see how the game plays out? And let's say Auburn does beat Alabama and you get all the fanfare around Cadillac Williams. Do you think they kind of hold off for that reason, or do you think that's a non-factor?
Well, I would say you don't hold off. I say you go ahead, and if you're John Cohen, you make the decision. And I don't think that a coach, you know, based on one game, one poor performance by a team, because we got the comments coming in after what happened at Arkansas and saying, well, do you think Auburn still offers
it? Yeah, why would like, you want Lane?
What are you doing here? I mean, is Josh Heupel all of a sudden a terrible coach because they got scrubbed by South Carolina? So I think you have to, while being respectful, guys, I think you still have to move because time is of the essence, and you do have a limited window. December 21st is coming rapidly, and that's the early signing period. And, you know, you're going to mitigate how many guys you got to get out of that transfer portal by being able to come in and make a quick dent.
And one thing that I do want to point out, because I've had a lot of people text me and have this conversation with me, because there was a little bit of confusion in the summer in regards to the transfer portal. If you remember back in the late part of August, they officially voted on these transfer windows, okay, that will open up. Well, during the summer, they were having a conversation in which folks could have multiple transfers and be immediately eligible. Well, that is not the case. Like if, let's just say, for instance, Zach Evans at Ole Miss. I'm just using him as an example. He's a transfer portal guy. He came from TCU, or just like Jackson Dart, you could use either one of those guys, okay? Unless they're going to be a graduate transfer, they cannot go to another school and play immediately. They would have to sit out 1 year, unless you're a graduate. Just like Trey Sanders at Alabama, he is going to be a graduate transfer. So he's going to go in the portal, and he's going to be available immediately to go. Now, he hasn't been in the transfer portal before, but it wouldn't matter. If you were a graduate, you can play immediately. So for those folks that believe that roster at Ole Miss is going to be gutted if he comes to Auburn, well, there's the potential of taking some guys that have not been in the transfer portal, but they would have to be graduate transfers. So the Jackson Darts and the Zach Evans, unless they're on some expedited academic system there at Ole Miss, they're not going to be available. Now,
Judkins
is a different story, obviously. That would be a big one. About 42 miles away from his hometown.
Go home to do laundry.
Yeah. See his family. Play football at Jordan-Hare. I mean, that seems like a no-brainer. But I just wanted to clear that up because there has been some confusion in the summer because that was a proposal which you could have unlimited amount of transfer where you would be immediately available to play. That is not the case. They did not pass that. All they passed was the windows of opportunity for you to go into the transfer portal. So if you've transferred once and you're an underclassman, you have not graduated, you would have to sit out that 1 year like you did prior to when the transfer portal came into existence.
Right. And that'll be interesting. And there's no guarantee if Lane does leave, how many guys would follow him. But, you know, Quinton Judkins is probably very comfortable in the system that he's in. I mean, he's the guy. But is it ultimately you're going to follow the system, the guy who got you over there, recruited you? I would think that the likelihood is not. I would put.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
At least 50%, not promoting it, but 50%. But maybe he has a girlfriend in Oxford. Maybe he has a steady. Who knows?
And not that this matters when it comes to NIL, because all indications are Auburn's got plenty of money to spend in the NIL. But anybody that has an NIL and you go in the transfer portal, the school has the right to absolutely hold your funds or to cancel your NIL.
So it's up to the school, not the client or business or whoever that's giving you the
information that I read this morning, because I brushed up on this morning, because obviously there's going to be a lot of questions that's going to happen with a roster management situation at either Ole Miss or Auburn moving forward. And yes, they have that right in regards to if Landrum had an NIL with UAB and he decided he was going to go in the transfer portal, the moment that he went in the transfer portal, then that school, the collective, whatever, has the right at that point in time to cancel the NIL and not pay him a dime moving forward.
And I have seen some reports that the amount of money or the targeted whatever for the NIL that was earmarked for football that Ole Miss has raised, that has been grossly exaggerated. Now, not as far as members and the signups to that collective, but that the numbers attached to those new signups was not. We're not talking $10,000 each. I mean, there's some $20 donations that were put in there. And every little bit helps.
Well, I can just tell you the people that I talked to at Ole Miss, they said there's about $6 million sitting there. So, now again, that's about half of what Auburn claims that they have in their NIL. So, you know, I don't know if we're doing this, you know, let's put it out on a table and see who's got the biggest or whatever the case may be. But I'm just telling you that the people at Ole Miss say that's what they have available. So whether it's a bunch of $20 donations or a couple $2 million donations, that's the amount of money
they
have.
And there doesn't have to be transparency with the NIL deal, even the individual.
I mean, because do we really know that Auburn's really got that much money in the NIL?
Well, I took it from Brett Whiteside, who joined our show.
Well, I mean, I know that, but I'm just saying, I mean, do we have an independent accounting firm that is going to say, you know what, he told us that, so do we believe that?
Well, it's kind of like attendance. I mean, Tiger Stadium the other night, they announced 94,000. That was roughly 35,000.
I mean, this
off the mark.
It's just like politics. I mean, this is all a game of marketing and trying to position yourself to make people think something that is probably being over exaggerated. That goes for every school.
Except for Texas A&M.
Yes.
I would believe whatever they say
in their NIL.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one exception would be Texas A&M.
Well, one thing I do want to pass along, you asked me about some of the folks over in Mississippi. Chuck Roundsville from the Ole Miss Spirit. He's been covering Ole Miss for over 40 years. And he sent out something this morning to his members. He said, what if he doesn't leave? There are rumblings he may not this morning, but have not had an idea what or who to believe at this point. The whole thing has been the weirdest adventure I've had in 45 years of covering Ole Miss. So there's somebody over there this morning is trying to make people think that Lane Kiffin is not going to leave.
And maybe won't, but has it really been that weird of an adventure? I mean, maybe it has been for Ole Miss, but Lane Kiffin has denied it. You've just heard that Auburn has targeted him as their number one guy from the beginning, and Brandon Marcello said it on our show right after Harsin was fired. So,
but if the Ole Miss people,
been wild?
Well, here's why it's been wild from their angle, because you got a coach that said, okay, we need to increase NIL. They've increased the NIL budget. Okay, we need this. We need that. What have they done? They've done everything that he's asked. They've offered him a $2 million increase. So from the Ole Miss perspective, they're sitting there going, this is weird. You had a coach that said, I need this. Okay, done. I need this. No problem. Hey, here's another $2 million for you, and we'll also throw in some money for your assistant coaches. Okay, cool. So from their standpoint, what else could we do? So that's right. Weird to them because they've got a sitting coach that is obviously misrepresenting himself and lying to them. And by the way, I've said on this show a million times, they're all liars. I mean, what he's doing is no different than anybody else that calls themselves a head football coach in major college football. But my point being, that's where the Ole Miss side believes it's weird because they're doing everything the coach is saying that we need done to be competitive, and then he's going to walk out the door and leave.
Yeah. And then if from Lane's perspective, asking for those things, and he's asked for them since the offseason and they have been met, I don't know if he was thinking about the potential of this Auburn job coming open, and he could always say, well, yeah, but
not look, playing that game. He has had his eye on that Auburn job for a long time. Do not go there like this is something like, oh wow, this job, Brian Harsin's not going to make it.
No. What I'm saying is he could always play that side of it and then saying, well, I had no idea. Remember I'm going to get a surprise phone call from Jimmy Sexton on Friday. Oh, I had no idea Auburn was interested in me. Oh, my gosh, $11.5 million? Look at their NIL. Well, Ole Miss, I was saying that, and I was being genuine, but I didn't have any idea that this opportunity was awaiting at the end of the season. That's all I'm saying. No, he was mentioned and flirted with, and there were big boosters before Harsin was hired that Lane Kiffin was on their list.
And that was the weird part. Why was Lane Kiffin not you know, looked at when they hired Brian Harsin?
Well, I think that's because you had a athletic director who some would consider going rogue, or you could reverse that and say it was boosters and going away and saying, all right, I'm going to go out and hire somebody that absolutely no one from that group has thought of. And he's out here in Idaho, and that turned out well. Not so much. But hope the Harsins are doing well. At least their son's playing in the state championship game next.
Yes, he is. Good quarterback.
Yeah. If I see Harsin, I will tell him you said hello. How about our friends at Twin Peaks? They're saying hello. Coming up tomorrow, of course, it is Thanksgiving Day. The stores are closed. They're going to close the doors to enjoy the holiday, reflect on what they're thankful for. Happy Thanksgiving. And they'll see you Friday for the Black Friday costume party. Twin Peaks. Huntsville and Hoover never settle.
When we come back on Three Man Front, so if a job does open up at Ole Miss, what's next for the Rebels? What kind of names are we hearing potentially that could fill the void once Lane makes it official and heads to Auburn? We'll discuss that. And, of course, coming up a little bit later this hour, we will go to our buddy Brian Edwards from Vegas Insider, get his take on the Iron Bowl this weekend, a couple other big rivalry games, and what Vegas is looking at. That's all next on Three Man Front.
10:31, it is Three Man Front, Jocks 94.5, the Auburn Coaching Search Watch continuing, the countdown. Many believe Auburn's going to move fast. Lane Kiffin, all signs pointing to him. There is news out of Oxford, Mississippi, at least from, what's Chuck's last name?
Brownsville.
That one of the Ole Miss insiders been covering that program for a long time, that, you know, maybe that there's a chance that Lane Kiffin stays. I would say from a personal safety standpoint, Pat, tomorrow, based on some of the things that we heard from fans, and fans are crazy, that you would try to quell anything, or you certainly don't want to say, hey, looks like I'm leaving, let's go play the Egg Bowl.
No.
That Rebel Walk would be different, wouldn't it?
And the Rebel Walk may be canceled because I understand it's supposed to be some heavy rain, possibly, tomorrow night for the game.
So. And there's been a threat on Juice's life, no kidding. Somebody on the message board threatening a dog walking through Rebel Walk, which is sad.
I just remember the Tennessee game last year when Lane got pelted by vapes and golf balls and beer cans and stuff.
And mustard.
And mustard, yeah.
Mustard.
That's kind of what I imagine it being like on tomorrow if this news gets officially announced before then.
Yeah, speaking of contracts, how about my buddy Chuck Davis? ChuckDavisLaw.com. He's right here in Metro Birmingham, and he's a general practice lawyer. So he covers several areas of the law. If you want to meet with him, some of those areas they do include divorce, custody, wills, probate, contracts, as I mentioned, personal injury, also auto and truck accidents. Even if you think your case is small, you got to give Chuck a call. He may be able to help. Your initial consultation is free, and he specializes in telling you whether or not you have a case. It's Chuck Davis Law. Heck of a nice guy. ChuckDavisLaw.com, 205-823-9992. And no representation is made that the legal services provided are superior to the legal services provided by other lawyers.
So I was kind of talking to a couple people last night, asking them what-if scenarios and what potentially, and these are not Ole Miss people, but these are just people in the coaching industry telling me who they thought would be some of the names that Ole Miss may go after. Because if Ole Miss was going to commit $9-plus million to Lane Kiffin, not saying that they're going to have the exact same budget moving forward to a coach, but I think that job would attract some interesting names. And the number one name that I heard from more people was Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule has done the old speaking circuit this week. He was on NFL Good Day Football, Good Morning Football, I should say, two mornings ago. He also he's done multiple podcasts in which he has said that being off for the last 3 to 4 weeks has been the best thing possible. He loves the game of football. He would do anything to be back on the sideline immediately. What he has done in the past speaks for itself. I was told last night from someone that he turned down the Nebraska job. Don't blame him for that.
No.
But he was hot and heavy. We had talked about it off the air about a week or so ago. We were anticipating that that was going to go down, that that was going to happen. I was told last night that he's turned it down. Didn't mean that they might not circle back, throw him a couple more million, and maybe he will ultimately take that job. But as of right now, Matt Rhule is still on the market. I was told that Ole Miss would probably make a phone call to him pretty quick if Lane Kiffin walks out the door.
And we understood that he had the contract even several weeks before it really got hot and heavy to mull over and kind of weighing out his options. And he can be very selective to jump back into the college coaching ring. Now, it depends on who you've talked to, because you talk to some who know people that are close to Matt Rhule is that he has no desire to coach in the Southeastern Conference, which would be understood. It's fine. He's a Penn State guy. Maybe go back to the Northeast if a job opens up there. We know what he took, the Baylor job, but basically, that was Matt Rhule being at Temple and that stepping stone job, right? You've got to get that experience, go and do that before. And obviously, it paid off because he was able to land a huge job in the NFL. Also, the way that he goes about things, and maybe that wouldn't be ideal. I think it would be a great fit personality-wise for Ole Miss, and that would certainly be a splash hire. And you're right, Pat. Now that you have committed $9+ million for Lane Kiffin, reportedly in a contract, I think that changes the perception of that job in a lot of coaches' eyes.
Yeah, I mean, if you got Mark Stoops is making $8.6 million moving forward, and how much money Eli Drinkwitz is going to make at Mizzou for finishing in sixth and seventh place in the SEC, I mean, come on. I mean, Ole Miss has got the money, and they're willing to spend it. I think Jeff Lebby's name is going to be heavily mentioned, who was there as the OC, who is now at Oklahoma. I think you're going to see Bill Clark's name. If Bill Clark's health is okay and he's ready to get back on the sideline, I think that would be a tremendous hire for him to go to Oxford, Mississippi, and to be in the SEC. I know that he's had opportunities in the past, but he has stayed here in Birmingham. And, of course, he took the early retirement due to his back surgery. So all indications are that once he gets that taken care of, I think Bill would be an excellent choice at Ole Miss if that comes up. And someone else to keep your eye on is Coach Fritz down at Tulane.
Right.
He is someone that has done an excellent job there in New Orleans, rebuilding that brand and that football program. And that is definitely somebody that Ole Miss will probably have a conversation with if it gets to that point.
Well, and if James Franklin at Penn State, know that his name was in the mix, whatever tier he's in, according to John Cohen. I don't know where he ranks, but it has been confirmed that there's mutual interest. Would James Franklin, if he does have a desire to get back to the Southeast, would James Franklin take that Ole Miss job? I mean, he was able to have success at Vanderbilt. Would that be a program going from a Penn State to an Ole Miss? Doesn't seem like it goes apples to apples, but if you desire to be back in the SEC, And now what that job could command salary-wise, would James Franklin be an option?
I don't think he would be, and that's just my opinion.
Right.
I think that he was up for the USC job last year. Jimmy Sexton was trying to get him out, trying to get him that job. That failed. Jimmy Sexton was trying to get him involved in the Auburn search. So that was what I was told was the mystery candidate about a week ago that Auburn was looking at. So no offense to Ole Miss. I think if you're going to leave Penn State, you're going to go to a program like an Auburn or a USC. You're not going to go to a Ole Miss or an Arkansas.
Yeah.
No offense. That's just my opinion.
But you did just say Matt Rule's a Penn State guy. So, I mean, in terms of having somebody
the domino
making
effect.
It a little easier, I guess, for James Franklin to leave.
Well, here's the other thing. I don't think Matt Rule is represented. I think Trace Armstrong represents Matt Rule.
That's correct.
That's not Jimmy Sexton. So I think Jimmy would love to play the old musical chairs if it had been a situation where, you know, he could say, well, look, if Keith Carter, you got to, you know, okay, you just lost one of my clients. You know, would you be interested in James Franklin? I just don't know how much that relationship or how much Ole Miss is going to take a recommendation from Jimmy Sexton after they put a $2 million raise and a contract in front of his client and he departs for another team in the SEC.
Yeah, and then, you know, you can go around and you can start looking at, with Dave Aranda at Baylor, would that be an option to coming back to the SEC? Obviously, familiarity when he served as a defensive coordinator at LSU, but I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. If you're Dave Aranda, you're looking up the road and seeing that TCU is about to play in the college football playoff.
Right.
Why would you want to come to the SEC? The pathway for them to get to the college football playoff is better for him to stay at Baylor than go to Ole Miss, no matter what happens in regards to the realignment of the divisions or no divisions or whatever you're going to do moving forward in the SEC, because nobody wants to come and coach in the SEC West unless you're Brian Kelly.
Yeah. And then there's other names that are out there. I don't know.
And
it
also
seems
keep in mind this. Hate to interrupt you, but keep your eye on this as well. Most people believe Texas A&M next year at this time is probably going to be open. And that is going to be a job that a lot of people know that they can line up and get a lot of money for. And who knows where Sarkisian's going to be a year from now. The team's sitting at 7-4. I know they've got Manning coming in next year. But what if they're sitting at a 7-4 record next year? Then all of a sudden, they're about to come into the SEC. So, I mean, you could have both Texas jobs wide open next year at this time.
I'm just throwing this name out there. There's no way. There's absolutely no way, because this coach, he would be available. I don't know if there would be mutual interest, but for the Ole Miss job, potentially. And this is far-fetched. But Dan Mullen, very familiar with that state.
Now, wouldn't that be something?
Oh, my gosh.
That
can you imagine
would be,
that press conference?
Woo! My goodness.
Is there above a 0% chance that they would at least entertain talking to Hugh Freeze?
I actually saw that on a message board the other night, and that kind of
I think
made me pause
you got
for
a better
minute.
Chance of hiring Dan Mullen,
yeah,
than Hugh Freeze going back to Oxford.
Yeah,
I figured, but
maybe they gave him a beeper. I'm just kidding. They called that a pager back in the day. That was uncalled for and not fair. Sorry, but it was.
They sell great phones at Walmart for about $45.
It was too easy. Hey, Soho Social, they're closed tomorrow for Thanksgiving. Back open on Black Friday, but if you want to go and enjoy a libation, maybe an adult refreshment, you can do so before your family gets in town. Get out on the patio, get inside, half off, happy hour. 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, except for tomorrow, just this week because of the holiday. Right next door, you got Soho Standard, and coming soon to the square, it is Social Taco.
Coming up next on, what is this program called? Three Man Front, is that right?
We can call it whatever you want today.
I didn't know if we had changed the name because it's like Lane Kiffin Watch. I didn't know if we changed.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The name of it or something.
The Lane Train?
Yeah, the Lane Train. Coming up next on the Lane Train, we will talk to Vegas. I don't like the name of that. Let's just go back to Three Man Front.
Let's do that.
Coming up next on Three Man Front, we will talk to Brian Edwards from Vegas Insider. It's Rivalry Week. We'll get his take and where the sharp money's going this weekend in Vegas. Next on Three Man Front. 1047, Jocks 94.5 coming up in just a few minutes. We will speak to Brian Edwards from Vegas Insider, get his take on the rivalry games coming up this weekend from a Vegas perspective. I want to remind everybody, we've got some heavy rain coming in over the next 24 to 48 hours here in Birmingham, and the leaves are still falling. So if you do not have the right material on top of your roof to cover your gutters, let me tell you about the Gutter Glove Pro Gutter Guards at Drainright Guttering. They're the exclusive distributor of the Gutter Glove Pro Gutter Guards. They're going to keep the debris. They're going to keep the leaves. They're going to keep them out of your gutters because you need to protect the largest investment that you have, which is your home, because the debris, the leaves, they're going to cause damage to your home. So you need to get those covered up now. Call 205-664-9828 or go online, drainrightguttering.com. Locally owned, with 30 years of helping homeowners keep their gutters free of leaves and debris. For a free quote, go to drainrightguttering.com.
Well, if there's any segment you need to listen to this week, it is certainly Brian Edwards when he joins us from MajorWager.com, also BrianEdwardsSports.com, and a senior handicapper for At Vegas Insider. He joins us on the Bud Light Hotline. First of all, Brian, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Hope you're doing well.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Happy Thanksgiving to y'all as well.
Well, we appreciate it. All right, so we got the Egg Bowl coming up tomorrow. We got the Iron Bowl coming up. We just got bowls all around before we officially get into the bowl season. When we look at this Egg Bowl, you got a high-powered air raid offense that typically doesn't travel well under Mike Leach in Mississippi State. You got Lane Kiffin, all of the scrutiny that's been put on the Auburn coaching situation, but playing at home and not looking that great against Arkansas on the road. What is your lean? Because the last time I checked, it was around Ole Miss favored by 2.5 at home.
Yeah, and a lot of books are at 2 now, and I like Ole Miss, and I like them anyway. And then I look at the weather forecast, and we're looking at, you know, an 80% chance of rain, which I think favors Ole Miss, which, you know, wants to run the football as they did extremely effectively last week, even though it didn't show up in points until the fourth quarter. I mean, they had more than 700 yards of offense, had a couple touchdowns, called back on penalties. But, you know, they got it put on them last week by Arkansas, but this is a rivalry game. I know it's not far of a travel, but, you know, the short week games always favor the home team, and like you noted, Mississippi State has struggled on the road, 1-3, both straight up and against the spread on the road. They beat Arizona, but they've lost by double digits their three SEC road games. And Lane Kiffin has dominated Mississippi State only 2 years, but 2 wins. I like the Rebels -2. I also lean to the over 59. Now, the weather gives me some pause on that, and I'm certainly on Ole Miss for much more. But I think even if it does rain, I think we got a good shot at the over, just because I think Ole Miss is going to be able to run the football. And so Ole Miss for most of my bankroll for this game, if you will. But I'm not against a little bit of the over as well.
So I guess basically what you just talked about, the weather situation, it is supposed to rain in Tuscaloosa on Friday, maybe some showers on Saturday. Would you – you know, use that same philosophy as you're talking about maybe taking Auburn in the points against Alabama on Saturday?
Yeah, I think that the rain, which is, you know, 90% chance of rain in Tuscaloosa, according to weather.com, I think that favors Auburn. Obviously, they have an anemic passing game, but they've got two great running backs in Hunter and Bigsby, and Ashford runs it well. Also, and, you know, Auburn playing, you know, pretty good under Cadillac, 3-0 against the spread, back-to-back wins, albeit, you know, against opponents nowhere near Alabama's level, but, you know, feeling good about itself, feeling pretty confident in a rivalry game, chance to get bowl eligible, and catching, you know, 22 or so. Not a big play by any means, but I favor Auburn.
Brian Edwards joining us, BrianEdwardsSports.com, at Vegas B. Edwards on Twitter, and he joins us on the Bud Light Hotline. Another rivalry game, maybe flying under the radar, but you got Arkansas traveling to Como to take on Missouri. The Hogs only a 3-point favorite. Who do you like in this one?
I'm going to go with Arkansas now. Missouri, you know, has been a feisty, you know, bunch and has had a lot of heartbreaking losses, and they're certainly motivated here to get bowl eligible. But look, when you know, two of Arkansas's losses have been when KJ Jefferson was out, and you know they've been playing pretty good football the last month or so. You know, put it on BYU pretty good, put it on Auburn pretty good. Both of those were road games. Now, you know, Jefferson's shoulder was bothering him, and they had the bad loss at home to Liberty. But I thought they played well against LSU, covered. You know, if Jefferson would have been healthy, I think they win that game. And then they're up 35-6 going into the fourth quarter against Ole Miss last week. And, you know, Jefferson looked good. I think his shoulder has recovered. And Rocket Sanders, you know, huge game last week, 232 rushing yards, three touchdowns. I haven't looked. I believe he's still leading the SEC in rushing yards. And I just think that Arkansas is a little bit better, and I will lay the three.
All right, I've got to get my Maxson fix. I know it was kind of sad getting those games.
It's a sickness,
including
with you,
I know it is. But we do have Maxson next Friday. It was announced, so I'm happy about that. But I have to ask you: Eastern Michigan +2 versus Central Michigan. I need a winner. Come on, Brian, help me out.
Yeah, McElwain's team has struggled this year. They're 4-7 straight up, 4-6-1 against the spread. That's obviously Central Michigan. Now they have won three in a row over Eastern Michigan, but that gives us plenty of motivation for EMU, and they have won three of their last four games, going 3-0-1 against the spread, and the only outright loss came to Toledo at home, and they were either leading or tied in that game for the first 57 minutes and 51 seconds. Toledo got a touchdown with 2:09 left to take its first lead of the game and won by three. But Eastern Michigan, notorious as terrific underdogs, more so on the road, but they are 8-4-1 against the spread in their last 13 as a home dog. So I like Eastern Michigan +2 to Central Michigan.
All right, awesome. Before we let you go, are there odds that you want to give us on the likelihood of one Lane Kiffin taking the Auburn job?
Man, God. I would probably say 65-35 that he's going to take it.
There you go.
I don't know. What do you guys think? I'm interested in what y'all think.
I'm more like 95-5 he's taking it.
Okay. Landrum, where are you?
I'm going 70-30.
Oh,
a little
wow.
bit lower, just because I'm sorry, Auburn, but anything can happen. I've seen this before. So,
anything can happen. That's
yes,
true.
I'm not betting the entire house, maybe just the downstairs.
Hey, one more I like is Kentucky minus 2.5 or 3. They've owned Louisville here lately.
All right. Okay.
Cunningham's most likely out.
No, that's great.
Hey, Brian, we appreciate it, man. Thank you. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Right, happy holidays.
Brian Edwards.
Well, thanks.
Joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.